Have your Bibles this morning. We invite your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. We'll look at verses 7 through 10. Now, we've been doing a series on suffering. We've called it a biblical theology of suffering. We have looked at some of the different aspects of suffering, what the Bible has to say about it, why we suffer sometimes. And God willing, today we're going to suffer. You might be suffering depending on how good I preach today. All joking aside, though, we're going to be preaching on the aspect of suffering, that suffering brings humility. Suffering brings humility. Now, I want you to look with me, please, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. And the Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the blessings you give us. God, I pray that if there be one here today that maybe they're struggling with their sufferings. Lord, they think for some reason they're being punished. Maybe, Lord, they think that they've done something that has brought on this suffering. And sometimes, Lord, we know that chastisement can come upon us for when we do wrong. But, Lord, I pray that you'd help us see past the superficiality of this. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to see that sometimes we suffer for your glory. Lord, we love you for what you do. We love you for your grace. We love you for your kindness. And Lord, for your salvation that you've bestowed upon those of us that know you. And God, if there be one here this morning that's lost, I pray that you do a work in their heart. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we find in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 that, of course, the Apostle Paul, if you look in verses 1 through 6, it talks about that he had had a vision or had been with the Lord. He said, whether it's in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. He said, in other words, he didn't know if he was actually physically there or if it was a dream or a vision or something like that. He said, I don't know. He said, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter. But then he goes on. And he talks about the things that he saw, the things that he heard. And then he said this. He said, in that one, and I believe he's talking about God, in that one I will boast. I'm not going to boast about the fact that I had a revelation or a dream or was in his presence. He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the Lord. He said, even though I might want to boast, I might want to brag. He said, I'm not going to be a fool. He said, "For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." Paul understood that it's not about him. And how did Paul come to see this? Because remember, folks, Paul was greatly used. We've talked about this. He was a great minister, a great missionary, a great preacher, a great servant of Christ. But yet, what happens? It was real easy for him to brag. But he said, "I can't." Then he comes and starts talking about verse 7. Then he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation," said, "because of the revelations I've seen or had," he said, "a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buff me." So we find in verse 7, but Paul is making clear here, there's a reason for him suffering or having this thorn in the flesh. Now let me say this, no one knows for sure what that thorn is. Some people say that that thorn in the flesh was physical ailments. Could have been. Some say it was poor eyesight. Some say it was he had a stuttering problem. We don't know. Matter of fact, John MacArthur has even said that that thorn in the flesh, and I think I've mentioned that here before in another sermon, that that thorn in the flesh was literally a demon that was given to follow him around and cause him problems. I can see how you get that, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know, and neither does John MacArthur. None of us do for sure. But this is what we do know, is that there was trouble. There was a thorn in the flesh, and this thorn in the flesh was allowed to be given him. Now notice this, "this thorn in the flesh given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." Now, understand, this is usually where they always have this joke. Oh, it's a good thing to be buffeted. No, it's not talking about a buffet. It's talking about buffet. That means to be beat upon or to hinder. Listen. Understand this. Satan does these things whenever he is allowed, like he did with Job, right? He does these things to hinder us and to cause us problems. He was allowed to have this thorn in the flesh. Now, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to have everything good? We're never supposed to have any problems, right? We're never allowed to have anything bad to happen to us, right? Now, that's what a lot of people say. But that's wrong, biblically speaking. I'm going to be honest with you. I like it when things go right. I like it when there's no problems. But God allows things to happen to God's people sometimes for several reasons. We've talked about some. Some is chastisement. We've sinned or we've done wrong. And therefore, God does take us behind the woodshed, so to speak, like we would one of our children, and discipline them, teach them. We've talked about that. Sometimes God does this to bring him glory. Have you ever seen a saint of God that loves the Lord and that's suffering and is on their deathbed and is racked with pain? They're still yet glorifying God, saying, "God is so good to me." Man, that takes the grace of God. Sometimes it's to keep us humble, as we'll see here in a minute. But all the time, it's for the glory of God. Now, I want us to continue on. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure." In other words, so I don't get the big head, so I don't get to thinking I'm better than I really am. "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So that way he didn't get to thinking he was more than he really is. Now notice this in verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. Three different times he asked the Lord. And he didn't just ask. The word plead gives the idea of begging. He was begging him. Three times that it might depart from me. Lord, take it from me. Lord, take this thorn, whatever it is. Whether it be his eyesight, give him good eyesight. Whether it be stuttering, take that away. Whether it be this demonic being, put a hedge about me. But God didn't do it. Why? Why? It doesn't make sense, right? God, don't you want Paul to be happy? Doesn't God want you to be happy? Here's the thing. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that God wants us happy. Not that I can find. If you can show that to me, please do, and I'll correct it. But he does tell us that he wants us, God's people, to have joy. We've said this before. Happiness is different than joy. Happiness is based on what? Happenings. Those things that are going on, those circumstances. I'm happy as someone comes up and gives me $1 million tax-free. Right? I'm happy if for some reason someone paid off Tara's car. I'm happy. But let me tell you something. Joy is different. If happenings or circumstances aren't good, then guess what? You're not going to be real happy. But if you have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength according to the Bible, if we have the joy of God in our hearts and lives, then guess what? In spite of our circumstances, in spite of those happenings, we can have joy. And I believe Paul exudes joy throughout his letters. He is in prison, and still yet he delights in the Lord. He's shipwrecked, and he still yet rejoices in the things of God. He suffers for no reason, is stoned with big rocks thrown at his head trying to kill him. Still yet he tells people to rejoice evermore. Why is that? Because he has joy. Let me say this to you today, folks. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, no matter the circumstances surrounding your life, I'm not saying that everything's going to be lollipops and sunshine, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything's great and there's no problems. But you can still yet have joy in spite of the issues. Now, I want you to notice this too. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Three different times. And what was his response? His response was this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So in spite of the fact he asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn in the flesh, God refused to do it. Now remember, Paul was a man greatly used of God, loved the Lord. He was a man of great faith. Great service. And in spite of that, God told him no. We do not need to be like petulant children. And what I mean by petulant children is spoiled, rotten crybabies when we don't get our way. And that's the way it is many times. God tells us no. How dare you tell me no, God? That could have been Paul's response. How dare you tell me that I can't be relieved of this? No, that isn't what Paul did. Now, I want to say this too. I don't believe that just because Paul asked three times for this thorn in the flesh be taken away, I don't believe that's the magic number to pray for something. God may not give you a yes or no for years and numerous times. But if he's not taken away, it is good and safe to say that God is going to give you the grace to endure it. That's what we need to remember. Sicknesses, troubles, trials, whatever they are, we can rejoice and we can rest in him. But God did refuse. He refused to take this away at this time. Said, I'm not going to do it. But he did say this to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Notice here, and I'm getting this from a commentator I read, and this is what he said here, and it makes perfect sense. Notice the present tense of what is being said here. My grace is sufficient. Not was, or it will be, it is sufficient. In the present tense, whatever you are going through, child of God, God is, his grace is sufficient for you to make it through. It is sufficient. You can trust him. It means that there is a constant availability of this grace that God will give to be able to suffer through this time. And even though God did not remove the thorn, as Paul had requested, understand, he said that he would continually supply him with the grace to be able to endure this tough time, whatever it is he's going through. And let me say this to you, child of God. He is saying the exact thing to you. He will give you the grace to make it through. I don't know what you're going through. Let's be honest with this, though. None of us knows what everyone else is going through. Everyone struggles with something. Everyone struggles with some trial or some problem or maybe even some temptation. But understand, child of God, his grace is sufficient to get you through this. Whatever that thorn is, whatever that trial, says, my grace is sufficient for you. Notice, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Understand something. The weaker the vessel, the more God shines through them in trials and troubles. I think about Nora. Talked to her the other day. Man, she always manages to laugh and smile. Very happy person. In spite of circumstances. And let me say this, folks. Why is that? Why is that? Why does she seemingly seem to be doing so well? Because she understands, and she quotes the verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Understand, that verse isn't just for her. It's not just for the preacher. It's for all of us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can trust him. And folks, whenever we're going through these times of trial and trouble, understand, he says, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quoting the Lord, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That literally means the weaker the human instrument, the greater and the more clearly God's grace shines forth in those times. Listen, sometimes God doesn't heal us whenever we're sick or we got problems or He doesn't take these things away. Why? Because what He's doing is He's using that instrument, that vessel, to show forth the grace of God to people that may never, ever see it anywhere else. Think about this. Do you think there's people at the hospital when someone's sick and the Lord, for whatever reason, is allowing them to go through things and they got a testimony of God's grace? God's using that to show others the only reason this person is able to get through this time and trial is because of the grace of God. You ever thought about that? You ever think about the reason maybe we go through things? And I'm not talking about things we self-inflict, because I promise you I've done that plenty. But in those times, those things that are out of our control, how it is that we're able to glorify God. His strength is made in my strength, or His strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Notice what Paul continues to say. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, my sicknesses, my weaknesses, my problems. I will therefore take pleasure in them. Why? Because it is through them that I glorify the Lord. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Understand, and I want to make this clear, Paul isn't saying that he took pleasure in the pain, but he rejoiced in the power of Christ that revealed God's power through him. He wasn't some sick, twisted guy that enjoyed that. But what he is saying, that even though I'm suffering, I'm going to bring glory to God through this trial. Notice verse 10. Therefore, or based upon these things, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in those weaknesses and those problems. I take pleasure and reproaches. Those times that he has those troubles and trials with other folks and other things. I take pleasure in my needs. Remember, we talked about this in the book of Philippians in chapter 4? He said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be satisfied. It's okay. Listen, Paul is saying, even if he has needs, physical needs, financial needs, whatever, that he could sustain and go through it. Notice this too. In persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, those times that he was stoned, those times people tried to kill him, those times he was thrown in prison, he was able to go through those things with joy because he was doing it for the glory of God. Here's the thing, for Christ's sake, for the sake of the gospel. Here's the thing, folks. Did you know that there might come a time, and I know we've got it made, things are going good in America right now, for the most part, especially compared to other places. But did you know there could come a time that persecution comes upon God's people? It's happened in other places. Why couldn't it happen here? Here's the thing. If that day does happen in my lifetime, I hope and pray that I am able, by God's grace, to be able to withstand and be strong. That I am able to keep these things in mind, just as the Apostle Paul did, for the honor and glory of God, for Christ's sake, that I be able to endure these things. And if you're here today and you're a child of God, and maybe you are suffering, maybe you're sick, maybe you're going through whatever you can imagine going through, understand this, God's got a purpose. Ultimately, the purpose is to be glorified. But you know what? There's other things could be due to. He could be teaching you some things. He could be bringing us down a notch. I've had that happen more than once. He could be, for whatever reason, training us and teaching us and preparing us for something for down the road. But understand, it's always for God's glory. Now notice as we finish, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Understand the paradox here. He's not talking about that he is strong because of him. He is not strong because of his ability. He's not up there saying, hey, look at me, look at how big and strong I am. Yeah, that's not it at all. What he's doing is saying, listen, when I am weak, that is, I am weak in the flesh, it is then that I can trust God's strength to get me through these trials. Let me tell you something, folks. Heard something years ago, and I've often thought about it. And it's like this. You're either going through a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into one. But here's the thing. Who is your faith and dependence on? Is it in your strength? Is it in your ability? Or is it in the ability of the one that died on the cross for your sins? The one that has saved you, the one that has done a work in your heart and life, and the one that has washed you in his blood. If you're a child of God, put your strength and listen, not just for your salvation, but in service. But in those times of weakness. But let me say this. If you're here today and you're lost by the grace, if you're lost and you don't know Christ, you can be saved by the grace of God. And it is only through him that you can be saved. Look to him. Look to Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for our justification. If you trust him and him alone for your salvation, he will save you. But here's the thing, folks. We don't just trust him for our salvation. We trust him continually throughout our life as we suffer, as we go through tough times, as we just continue on. Listen, you can trust him today to get you through everything that you're going through. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us. God, I ask that you'd help us to honor you.